Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Ship to Shore Radio. Radio.
Terrific defense by Wade and a nice rebound by Bosch. Here comes Blaine for the bomb. Rock City East strikes again.
You can see it coming all the way. LeBron was up ahead of him in the right lane.
Take a look around, tears from their eyes, knees on the ground, money in the sky. Take a look around, ain't shit nice, praying for my life, hope I make it through the night. Take a look around.
And he drives it to center field, that ball's deep. Back goes Schaefer, at the wall, gone! My goodness, an absolute bomb!
Take a look around.
Reggie Bush. With a big hole, hurtling a defender, and there he goes! And the dagger for the Miami Dolphins!
Take a look.
This is the Southernmost Sports Wrap, only at Ship to Shore Radio.
What's going on, everybody? It's another Thursday night, and another edition of the Southernmost Sports Wrap. Got a lot of stuff for you today. I mean, you got college football, NFL, baseball even is getting hot right now. And even basketball starting up pretty soon. I got the ESPN player rankings for you guys today, so I'll get you that later on in the show. How you doing, Hootie?
Well, I'm doing great. Great to be here with you, Zen Man.
Zen Man has relocated to a new apartment, but I am still pretty south. I don't know what I'd do if I moved to Oregon. I'd have to be the northernest sports rep or something. I don't even know. But, going into top news. If you haven't heard, the new referees are back. I have not caught any of the game tonight. I do know that it currently is 23-10, if I'm not mistaken. Ravens over the Browns.
They're actually 23-13 at this point.
Update, yeah, it's 23-10, Baltimore Ravens over the Browns. This is a pretty easy game for the Ravens. It is now 23-13, 12:05 left in the fourth quarter. Ravens at home. And the first game with the new refs, and, you know, everybody wants to blame the refs. I understand that it looks easy. Yeah, we're just sitting on our couch drinking a beer going, oh, yeah, it was obviously, because we're just sitting there watching all the camera angles. It's tough, man. I mean, you got all these people staring at you from the fans, and not counting that, you know, you have millions and millions of people watching the TV, and you got to make a decision in half a second. Did he catch it? Did he not catch it? I mean, it seems like they're easy. I mean, I guess I could say that if you look at the replay, what are you going to do? But I blame Roger Goodell completely. But whatever. I mean, I'm glad. I think, you know, part of the reason that they came back this week was, one, I think the Seahawks game was a pretty bad call. And, you know, when you see those kind of calls, it clearly impact the game because it was either they won or they didn't win, whether the call was right or not. And then Mitt Romney came out and Obama came out as well. So I think there's a lot of pressure on Goodell, and I'm glad he got it done. I mean, what is your take on the referees? I mean,
I definitely think that, you know, they had to come to a decision eventually. The NBA, you know, the NFL has been holding out, and I think this one call was enough to make – I mean, there was enough outburst on Twitter and everything to make the NFL realize that there are people who are not going to watch the game. They're going to lose revenue. They're trying to save money. They're going to lose revenue by not bringing the referees back. If calls like this keep getting made, you know, they tried to push it off on the Lingerie League. Oh, well, their refs are bad. The Lingerie League puts out a statement saying, the refs you hired, we fired for incompetence. So it's, like, pretty bad that – you know, that
like,
happen.
Yeah, it's like bad lingerie refs, and you have them in the NBA. Do you expect them to be good NBA refs? Not NBA, NFL.
Exactly. I mean, so you can't just keep passing the buck, and finally they realize, you know what, we need to sit down and get this done. And I'm even happy that the refs got a standing ovation when they came out and announced, you know, when they came out for the coin toss, that, you know, they got a standing ovation.
I didn't see it, but I was thinking about it. I was thinking about it. I was wondering if they did, and now I know. But yeah, well deserved. People always hate the refs, and now I'm guessing they love them. So, if you haven't seen the end of the game, both games actually during the weekend. I mean, all the talk about Seattle, and what about the Sunday night game with the Ravens and the Patriots? I mean, it came down to one field goal as time expired, and I got to tell you, I mean, you know, it's normally you look at the ball if it goes through it or not, you could tell. But if it's a really high kick, which this one was for the Ravens, who were down by one as time expired, the kick was really high. And, I mean, I looked at it once or twice, and it was 50-50 to me whether the ball went over the left or the right of the bar. I mean, and I don't think they reviewed it. And Belichick got pretty mad, and he ran after the refs and grabbed them. Got a $50,000 fine for that. But, I mean, who's to say that call wasn't wrong as well? And that was just a field goal. So, I mean, it's one thing when, you know, when a couple of bad calls throughout the game, but when it's the actual final play of the game, literally the game is on the ref's shoulders to make the call. So that's what's obviously, you know, you have to make a change. But it's all right. It's over, and it's only 3 weeks, so it's not too bad. But as you see, some teams some teams like the Patriots, who, like I said, were out Sunday night, and the Packers on Monday night, both on the wrong end of those calls. Now they're both sitting at 1-2. So you tell me I don't know if with the real refs in, are they really still 1-2? I don't know. I don't think so. But it's okay. We'll see how the new refs are. And any other, I really don't have any other top news. Do you have any other top news?
Well, if we go to my corner, I'll have some other stuff later. The only other stuff I'm going to bring up is, if you want to go to NCAA, we can go to this other stuff later. I was going to bring up the R.A. Dickey winning, you know, his 20th for the Mets, who are struggling so bad. But he gets his 20th win. Pitched, had 13 strikeouts in 7 2/3 inning. So that was pretty impressive, you know. I just hate to see a pitcher who's doing so well on a team that's doing so horrible. You know, but that was a good thing for today. And then, of course, today Doug Fister struck out an American League record 9 straight batters. That is amazing. They won 5-4. The Tigers won 5-4 of the KC. But the Major League record is actually 10 for the majors, but the American League record is now 9. And the one for the total Major Leagues is by Tom Seaver, pitched in 1970. So there were two great games today to be watching in MLB. So that's some top news for today.
Just look at that. I mean, he's not even. I mean, you look at Anibal Sanchez. He pitched a complete game, 2-3 hitter 2 days ago, and those two together aren't even the best two pitchers. They still have Verlander and Matt Scherzer, who are leading the majors in strikeouts. And obviously, Verlander's had two no hitters last year. I mean, they're pretty sick. I mean, when you condense it to three or four pitchers in the playoffs, and you take along their hitters, they're the best hitter in baseball, Miguel Cabrera, and Prince Fielder, Avila. They have a pretty sick lineup, so I definitely watch out for them in the playoffs.
And also in some other baseball news, the Indians fired Maniac. There are 6 games left. Because his record with them is not great. He was 214 and 266 in 3 years with them, and they have the worst record since the All-Star break, with 21 wins and 50 losses since the break. I mean, they're just horrible. And they say that the team is he's so quiet that he's not controlling the team. So they let him go with 6 games left to go in the season. So today, I think yesterday was his last game coaching.
Did they even have good players? I mean, who is to blame, honestly?
Yeah, I don't know. And not all that. But, you know, a lot of they believe that, you know, they've got some coaches in mind. And, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, they started off on fire this year. They were contenders, you know, for the first 2-3 months. And then all of a sudden they just started tanking. Is it the players? Is it the coach? I mean, you blame the coach, you kick him out. You know, you see what happens. Will they, the last 6 games, are they going to be good? Are they going to start off on fire next year? We'll see. If they're horrible next year, then maybe he wasn't the problem. Never know.
Yeah, for sure. Let's get into get into college. I just forgot, man. You're gonna have to look all this stuff up because I can't do it as fast as my iPhone. You on the computer?
Sure am.
All right, yeah. Sounds so generic, right? ESPN.com, man. I mean, it's not like I know the rankings by memory or anything. I always go to ESPN.com.
And you want to know the top 25?
Just the NCAA, Warner NCAA rankings, yeah.
Yep, and we got Alabama, of course, number one. They're 4-0. Oregon is number two. They're also 4-0, still undefeated. LSU, number three. Florida State, number four. Georgia, then South Carolina, then Kansas State at seven. Stanford at eight. Then West Virginia, Notre Dame, and then Florida. The Gators there at number 11. Texas, USC at 13. They're 3-1. They're the first team, number 13 with a loss. Ohio State at number 14, even though Ohio State's 4-0, they're still ranked one below USC. TCU is 15, Oklahoma is 16, Clemson at 17, Oregon State is 18 with a 2-0 record, so they're another team that's lower in the polls, but still undefeated. Louisville at 19 is undefeated also. You have Michigan State with a 3-1 record at number 20. Mississippi State at 21, Nebraska at 22, Rutgers at 23 with a 4-0 record, Boise State at 2-1 at 24, and Baylor at number 25 with a 3-0 record.
Yeah, I'm shocked. Interestingly, I mean, last week Boise State lost. No, they won 7. I guess that's why they didn't drop out, but they won 7-6. Their quarterback had, I think, 19 passing yards with three interceptions. Yeah, 3 interceptions, 19 passing yards. I was in shock. I was like, this is not looking like Boise State. How does a guy have 19 passing yards? And it's just weird. But we have last week games, big games last week. Kentucky at Florida. Florida won 38-0. Maryland at West Virginia. West Virginia won 31-21. University of Virginia at TCU. TCU won 27-7. Oregon State at UCLA. Oregon State winning on the road against a ranked UCLA team, 27-20. Cal at USC. USC won 27-9. LSU at Auburn. LSU, the number two team at the moment, won 12-10. But they fell down to number three, right? Or number four.
They're number three.
After that, it wasn't really an impressive win at all. Michigan and Notre Dame. Notre Dame with the upset, or the big win, the upset, 13-6. Clemson at FSU, high-scoring game. FSU wins 49-37. Kansas State at Oklahoma, the big upset there. Kansas State winning 24-19. And Oregon at Arizona, shutting out Arizona. In Arizona, it's pretty impressive. I know Arizona has a pretty good offense. Oregon winning 49-0. So good luck for them. And looking at this week's matchups, today we have a big matchup, and I actually have a score. It is number 8 Stanford, who already beat the number 1 USC when they were number 1. It's a very, very, very low-scoring game at Washington. Number 8 Stanford at Washington is 6-3 Stanford with 5:54 left in the third on ESPN. Another big matchup, number 25 Baylor plays at number 9 West Virginia at 12 p.m., this is all Saturday games. Tennessee at number 5, Georgia, 3:30 on CBS. You have number 17, Clemson at Boston College at 3:30 on ESPN2. Two ranked here, number 14, Ohio State at number 20, Michigan State University at 3:30 on ABC. That should be a good game. Number 12, Texas plays at Oklahoma State. Wisconsin at number 22, Nebraska. That'll be on 8 p.m. on ABC. Number 18, Oregon State at Arizona. That's really late game. That should be fine. It's like 9 o'clock probably. Number 2, Oregon at Washington State University. That'll be a 10:30 p.m. start at the ESPN. Those are big matchups. All the ranked teams that I didn't mention are playing, scrubs or whatever they should win. So that is your big. I'll keep you guys updated on the NFL game, which, right now, it is
still 23:30.
But yeah, time for the NFL. Let's get it.
Американская фирма Transceptor Technology приступила к производству компьютеров «Персональный спутник».
I leave Hootie with the switchboard for 1 second, and he's doing a good job. I'll take note. He was my host last Sunday. He's my host today. Hopefully, Zen Man should have some internet tomorrow. At least Comcast. I got to figure out my Wi-Fi. I moved routers. It's a whole mess. We're getting by. Here's my power rankings. It's changing. I know the bottom, 16 are changing, obviously, with these garbage teams, but even the top five have changed drastically. And my number one team, well, actually, I should build up suspense. Let's go for number 32 team. With the Cleveland Browns, number 31. I know the Titans, they won last week against the Lions, but I really think it was a fluke. I mean, you had five plays over 60 yards, and it wasn't like, I think it was one passing play. The other ones were like fumble recoveries and a couple of punt returns. It was ridiculous, and they still won in overtime. It wasn't even their defense. I don't know. I don't believe the Titans. I'm keeping them at 31. At number 30, the Rams. At 29, at the Colts. Number 28, the Chiefs. At number 27, the Miami Dolphins. Number 26, the Oakland Raiders. At 25, the Denver Broncos. At 24, the Jaguars. 23, the Saints. At 22, the Buffalo Bills. At 21, the Jets. At 20, the Panthers. 19, Buccaneers. 18, Chargers. At 17, the Lions. 16, the Vikings. 15, Seahawks. Their win was good, but it was at home, and it maybe should have counted. 14, Redskins. 13, Eagles. 12, Steelers. 11, Bears. Number 10, the Bengals. At number 9, the Cowboys. And yes, at number 8, all the way down there, number 8, the Patriots. Now, these two teams are undefeated, but I didn't want to put them too high. Number 7, Falcons. Number 6, Cardinals. I like the Cardinals above the Falcons. I just think that the Cardinals have great defense. Falcons as well. I don't know. They're two very good teams. I would like to see them play each other. Number 5, your Packers, because they're 1-2, man, but they're still a good team. I think they got Jude one win, at least one win. And the other loss was to the 49ers, so it's still a decent 1-2. Number 4, the Giants. They're moving up fast, man. An impressive win last week. They're actually not favored this week. I think the Eagles are favored by 2. I don't agree with that at all. I think the Giants will take them. Number 3, the Ravens. Number 2, the 49ers. And then number 1, which I think personally is going to win the Super Bowl this year, is the Houston Texans. If anybody's going to challenge them, it will be the 49ers, but 49ers losing last week, not looking impressive against the Vikings. Texans are just rolling, and they play Tennessee this week, which moves me into my predictions. Well, actually, let's get into last week's scores. Do you have any comments on my top 32, my power rankings?
Well, the 49ers, I think the real deal, like you said, they had that weak game. Texans seem to be rolling. I don't know if I would put the Giants in front of the Pack. And, I don't know. Like, Eli, he's, with me, he's wishy-washy to me. I got to see a little bit more out of him. And,
He showed me something last week though against the Panthers. I don't know. They blew him out in Carolina. It's just I don't know. I mean, it's really not. I mean, Eli, yeah, it's a big part of him, their defense. But I mean, yeah, it's hard. I mean, it's hard to put these teams on the Packers. I got the 1-2 Packers above two undefeated teams. It's just at this point. But I mean, the Packers will be up there in the top two not too long if they start winning a couple games. But.
And I would I would put, you know, I wouldn't put the New England down so far. Like you said, you know, a blown call could have been the, you know, the difference between that 1-2 dropping them way down there like that. But, you know, the Pack, you know, they're a tough team there. So.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, it's like in the top 10, it's like 7 of these teams. If they won the Super Bowl, I wouldn't be surprised. But they got the top 10 with shipping, drafting every week.
I mean, maybe even the Falcons could be a little higher. I mean, the Falcons look to be, you know, a pretty strong team this year. I'm impressed with them so far.
Yeah, I agree with that as well. But then you're telling, yeah, yeah, and then I wanted to, man. But then you got the Packers, the Giants, the Ravens. These are all good teams. At number 7 right now, it's pretty healthy. You know, they've beaten the Broncos. I think they play the Panthers this week, which I have them, I think, all right, let's move into last week's scores. Dolphins honestly should have beat the Jets. I think they played better. They could not finish the game. A couple of bad missed field goals. Jets win in overtime, 23-20. Yeah, I know you had you on that. St. Louis at Chicago. Chicago third, 23-6. Buffalo at Cleveland. Buffalo winning 24-14. Tampa Bay at Dallas. Dallas winning 16-10. This is a big game. Detroit at Tennessee. Tennessee gets his first win, 44-41 in overtime. Detroit, I believe, was in field goal range in overtime. And I mean, as you all know, if the other team scores first, it is sudden death, but not really anymore. If the first team, the team who has the first possession, on that first possession, if they score or whatever, like, the other team gives a chance. So this Tennessee scored on their first drive. Detroit was, you know, they had an easy field goal. They decided to go for it on 4th-and-1. I believe it was a quarterback sneak. They didn't get it in. Jacksonville winning at Indianapolis 22-17. San Francisco losing to Minnesota in Minnesota, but still unexplainable right there. 24-13 Minnesota. New Orleans loses again at home against the Chiefs. This is just unbelievable. 27-24 in overtime. I don't care how they lose. They lost. They were up big, too. I can't believe they lost again. Still without their main guy on defense, Jonathan Vilma. But it's just, you know, it's unbelievable that even, I mean, the 24 points, how do you not score more than that? You're Drew Brees at home against the Chiefs. I don't really understand it. Bengals at the Redskins. Bengals winning 38-31. Philly at Arizona. Arizona remains undefeated, 27-6 over Philly. Even Michael Vick's been questionable now. He's questioned about his job even. A lot of interceptions that game. Atlanta at San Diego, both were undefeated. Atlanta moves on big time in San Diego, 27-3. Settles that. Houston at Denver. It ended up being a close game, but Houston pretty much had control, 31-25. Pittsburgh at Oakland. Oakland actually getting the victory. I believe Janikowski had a game-winning field goal. I love that guy.
Yeah, gotta love him.
I think he might be the best ever, honestly. Definitely the best of this generation. New England at Baltimore, like I said, questionable field goal at the end. Baltimore gets the call, 31-30. And then, obviously, the big controversy. Seattle with Hail Mary, 40-yard touchdown catch. Clear offensive pass interference by Golden Tate, no call. And then even if the no call, I don't think he really had possession, but it was called a touchdown, and there really wasn't, I mean, whatever the call was, it was going to stay. There really wasn't, I mean, it looked like obviously the cornerback had it from Green Bay, but there was no evidence on the, you know, you couldn't even see the football on the replay, so there's really no way of telling who was going to win, so. Who caught the ball?
You mentioned the New Orleans game. To go back to that New Orleans game, you mentioned you don't know how KC, you know, was able to do it. But if you look at the stats, KC has the most offensive yards of any team. They lead stats, 1,325 offensive yards. You know, 431 yards per game.
I believe that was Jamal Charles last game had 233 rushing yards or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy.
I mean, you know, one big game and you're leading the league in 3 weeks. But I don't think Kansas City's really a real deal. I mean, the Saints should be able to dominate them. But yeah, it's just, I didn't know that. Actually, it's interesting. But yeah, moving to my predictions for this week: Dolphins at Cardinals. The Cardinals, I do believe they're a good team. I said it earlier in the season. I thought they were my pick to be a surprise team in the playoffs. I was skeptical about them to start because of their controversy at quarterback. But Colt seems to be doing good. So I think they're going to win 24-13 over the Dolphins. Panthers at Falcons. Falcons win 27-24. Patriots at Bills. Patriots win 34-20. Vikings at Lions. Lions are favored by 7. I think they're going to win 27-18. Chargers at Chiefs. Chargers win 31-20, I think. Seahawks at Rams. Rams win 24-14. 49ers at Jets. I think the 49ers kill the Jets, and that's not me hating the Jets. It's me being realistic. And I think the 49ers, yeah, 30-12. I think the Titans and the Texans, that's a blowout. Texans win 41-15. Raiders at Broncos. Broncos should win by 3 points, 31-28. Bengals at Jaguars. I think the Bengals win 34-27. Saints at Packers. Packers win 40-31. Drew Brees will, I mean, that offense will be good, but their defense still. I think the Packers win. They need to win. They're a better team at home. Redskins at Buccaneers. Buccaneers win 34-30. Giants at Eagles. I think the Eagles win 37-28. And Bears at Cowboys win that football. I have the Cowboys winning 31-28. So that is my predictions for the NFL this week. Any arguments?
I really don't know. I don't know if the Packers-Saints game is going to be so close. I mean, the Saints are just starting off, you know, god-awful this year. And giving up 27 points to Kansas City, you know, putting them in first place for a total offensive yards, I just don't see them stopping. Even though Green Bay is only 1-2, I just don't see them stopping Green Bay. I don't see them putting up that many points against Green Bay, to be honest with you. You know, I just don't see it like that. I think it's going to be a wider spread. I think Green Bay is going to win, just like you said, but I see it as a wider spread. And Broncos, that's going to be, I agree with you on that one. That's going to be it's always a tough fight between the Raiders and the Broncos. And 49ers and Jets, I mean, the 49ers picked that they took that other loss, so I don't know if they're going to beat my Jets. I'm hoping my Jets come out strong. I'm going to, you know, after a close win against, you know, the Dolphins, I think the Jets are going to come in ramped up. They're at home, you know. I think this is going to be a Jets win. I think it's going to be, like, basically a very close game. I'd say, 21-17.
I just don't see the Jets. I mean, they barely escaped with a win against the Dolphins, and now they're going to win against the 49ers. I mean, I don't care what turf you're playing. They don't have Revis now for the rest of the season. And he's still going to remember, Mark Sanchez is just not going to, against the 49ers defense, anything can happen, honestly. I've seen some crazy upsets already this year. It's just, I don't know. I just don't see the Jets. I don't see the Jets moving the ball against the 49ers too much, but we'll see. If they do, I owe you an apology for sure.
Nope.
And
I guess it's time for the stat of the week.
So what you got there, Mr. Zinman? Stat of the week.
All right. I'm like 90% done with my stat. Do you have a stat of the week?
Yeah, I do have a small stat of the week, just to kind of throw something out there for you. As far as the NFL goes, the fifth leading rusher in the league is Reggie Bush. He has he's only 20 yards behind Jamal Charles of the Chiefs. Jamal has 323 yards, and Reggie Bush has 302. So the Dolphins, even where they're at, they do have the fifth leading rusher in the league in Reggie Bush.
Cool. All right, here's my stat of the week. T.Y. Hilton actually got his first touchdown pass for FIU. Well, you know, he's the highest drafted player at FIU. I believe he was 52nd pick in this year's draft to the Colts. And him and Angelo touched up, I believe it was like a 40 or 50 yard touchdown pass. So, pride to FIU. Congratulations to T.Y. Have faith in him. And good to see him making some progress and doing big things for the NFL and the team that he's on. My other stat will be the ESPN came out with the NBA player rankings today. And I would go from the top 10, but I already know number 11. Which is Dirk Nowitzki. Number 10 is Deron Williams. Number 9, Russell Westbrook. Number 8, Dwayne Wade. Number 7, Kevin Love. Number 6, Kobe Bryant. And here's the top 5. You have Derrick Rose, number 5, CP3, and number 4, big man, Superman, Dwight Howard, at number 3. And then your number 2 and 1. And number 2, Kevin Durant. And, of course, number 1, Brian Scalabrine. Nah, I'm just kidding. LeBron James, of course. MVP. Finals MVP. Everything. Those are your top 10, the top 11 power rankings. And I actually have, I can actually pull up. Yeah, I have. Let me pull up 11 through 15. They have all of it to 500. I don't know how much stuff they put into the higher ones, but 11 through 15. I said 11 was Dirk Nowitzki, and I have it right here. Number 12 is Rajon Rondo, which he may be higher in my book. Number 13, Andrew Bynum. Who now plays for the 76ers. Number 14, Blake Griffin. And number 15 is Pau Gasol, which I was a little questionable about 11 through 20 because Pau Gasol at number 15, and I haven't even mentioned Chris Bosh, I haven't mentioned Carmelo Anthony. I really thought that he would have been behind those guys, but ESPN has it at 16, Tony Parker, which I agree with that. 17, Carmelo Anthony, which I really don't agree. I think he should have been a lot higher. 18, Chris Bosh. 19, Steve Nash. And number 20, LaMarcus Aldridge. These are the top 20 rankings that ESPN came out with for the NBA.
Well, I would agree with you on that Carmelo Anthony. I think he should be higher ranked, too.
Yeah, of course. I mean, he's a superstar. He hasn't won a title, but, I mean, and that doesn't mean he's not a good player. I mean, teams win titles. I don't think he's ever been on a great team. Just keeping you guys updated really quick with the score today. Stanford and Washington. I guess my phone never...
Well, Stanford and Washington, Stanford's up 13-10. It's the end of the third quarter. Fourth quarter is about to begin. And if you want an update on 13-10.
Okay.
And in the Browns game, the Ravens have the ball right now with 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter. They're up 23-16. And they're on Cleveland 39, so they're in field goal range. They'll be in field goal range in the next, like, two or three plays. So it looks like the Ravens may be able to kick another field goal and put this one out of reach for the Browns with 2 minutes left.
All right, cool. All right, and I just also realized that I can't do my MLB update really good. So I'm going to have to – well, you know what? Actually, I can. I can do it. I have faith in myself. All right, let's get the updated standings. Well, these are the standings, I guess. Well, yeah, I swear. Let me give you guys, I have the standings. It's, what, we got a week left of baseball?
Yep, 6 games left.
All right. I'm just waiting for this thing to...
And I believe we have the Phillies coming in.
All right, well, this is the standings. I mean, this is correct standings. It might be different today. In the AL East, 90-65 is the Yankees. They have a game and a half lead on the Baltimore Orioles. They did lose today, so I don't know if that's factored in. No, yeah, they did lose today. They game up. It was the win streak that won. Tampa's coming out strong, 7th straight, but they're still 5 games back. Boston and Toronto are 20-plus back. AL Central, Detroit now has the lead, 83-72. They won 3 straight. They're a half-game lead on the White Sox. That battle will come down to the end. AL West, Texas has a...
Well, it looks like Tom has been cut off for a second, but we will get back in. Hopefully, he'll get back in the show.
You hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now. All right. You just blanked out for a second there, but you're back.
All failed. You know, man down. It's all right, man. I've been man. I've been since before. Going back to the standings. All right. AL West, Texas has a 4-game lead on Oakland. They have... this series is over. I'll get to the schedules tomorrow in a minute. NL East, Washington, 94-61. I believe that's best ranked in baseball. Oregon lead on the Braves, who just clinched. So the Braves are in the playoffs. Washington's in the playoffs, too. They haven't clinched the division, but they will. Philadelphia, 17 games back. Everybody else. The Marlins, only 29 games back. The 6-0. We'll see how that pans out.
They're playing the Phillies in the next 3, so that's a really good thing.
So even if we win all 3, we're still like 10 back of the Phillies. That's great. Cincinnati, second best record in baseball, 94-62. They have a 10-game lead at the Cardinals. So they got the division wrapped up. And you know, West, San Francisco won the division already. 91-65, and they have a 10.5 game lead on the Dodgers. And interesting news, if y'all don't remember, Melky Cabrera technically still leads the MLB, which I'm going to have you look up the stats for me in a bit. Melky Cabrera still leads. He won't win the batting title. He doesn't have as many. He doesn't have enough at bats because he had his 50-game suspension. He is eligible to come back in the playoffs about 5 games in, but they said they will not add him to the postseason roster. So interesting decision by San Francisco. The Melky Cabrera is a great player. Obviously, his average is like 341 or 346. He won the MVP in the All-Star game. So surprising that they're not going to add him. I mean, it was substance abuse. So maybe they're just, I mean, they're winning games now, so it's not like they need him. But you'd think that'd be an addition. The wild card standings, just looking from the standings I have here, it looks like Baltimore has the first wildcard spot, and looks like Oakland has the second spot with a, looks like probably like a 2-game, with a 2.5 game lead on Tampa. And so for the 2 spots so far, I think Baltimore, Oakland will battle it out if the season is today. There's still some time for Baltimore to overcome the Yanks if they haven't. No, yeah, so they're a game back right now. And the NL, I guess, in the grade are to clinch the first spot. And my app just died. And the second spot is to the Cardinals right now. And they pretty much have wrapped up. I think the Dodgers are the next closest.
Dodgers are 3.5 games back. I mean, but I don't think they're going to pull it out. If St. Louis can win 2 of these next games, Dodgers can't. They can't do it.
Yeah, so it looks like. Looks like what I predict will be a 1-game playoff for Oakland and Baltimore, and then a 1-game playoff between Atlanta and St. Louis. Whoever wins those games will move in as the 1 wild card spot to the playoffs to battle whoever it is they play.
So basically, if the Braves win, they won't play Washington. If Washington hangs on to that number one spot, they have about a game lead on Cincinnati. I predict it'll probably be Washington number one, Cincinnati number two, and then at number three would be the Giants. So if Atlanta wins that, Atlanta would probably play Cincinnati and the Giants would play Washington. If the Cincinnati Reds get that first spot, then the Braves will play the Reds instead of the Nets, because the first round you cannot play a divisional matchup, which is always interesting. So even if the first spot is the Nationals and the fourth spot is the Braves, they can't play each other. So the Braves will end up playing the second spot, which will be the Reds. If it ends up like that, it should end up like that. But the Reds only one game back, so I know they're still battling for that first spot. They want to have home. Whoever has the first spot has home field advantage throughout the playoffs. And I believe the NL won the walk. Yeah, like I said, Melky Cabrera got the MVP, so that means the NL won. So the NL will have the home field advantage in the World Series this year. In the AL, looks like the first spot will go to the Rangers. So they're going to have the first spot. So if the Oakland Athletics, if they battle the Orioles, if Oakland wins, they're not going to play Texas. They'll probably play the Yankees. And then if the Orioles get it, then the Orioles will play the Red Sox, excuse me, the Yankees. And the Orioles will play the Rangers, and then the other two matchup, if whoever wins out of the White Sox and the Tigers. So the Yankees will play one of those two teams. I assume the Tigers. So those are just some scenarios. But a lot of week left, anything can happen. If you don't believe me, look at last year and how the Braves and the Red Sox finished. Just crazy stuff. If it doesn't make a difference, look at the Cardinals, who somehow caught the Braves and won the World Series. So that's enough lecturing for one day. And you have, well, I guess the schedules, I mean, looking at tomorrow's matchups depicting the rest of the weekend.
You have coming into the weekend.
Do you have it up?
Yep, I do. Tomorrow you have Boston and Baltimore. You have Kansas City and Cleveland. You have Cincinnati and Pittsburgh. The Yankees go into Toronto. Well, they're still through Toronto. Philadelphia is coming down here to Miami, and that means my bro Ham will be in town. Not working, but he's going to the game, so that might be something interesting. The Mets playing Atlanta. Oh, that would be an interesting matchup. Mets struggling, but they could do some damage to Atlanta. The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim are in Texas. Tampa Bay is in Chicago. Houston is in Milwaukee. Detroit is in Minnesota. Washington's at St. Louis. Good matchup. And both teams getting into the playoffs, hopefully.
That might be a preview to what we're going to see. I mean, a less intense preview, but yeah, might be a preview. Because St. Louis, I mean, even though they're at the fifth spot, they're not going to catch Atlanta, but it doesn't really matter. So you have, like I said, this is kind of when it comes to play. You're going to see the NL. Atlanta's going to have a much better record. I mean, Atlanta has probably the second best record in the NL. They can only go as far as the first wild card spot. They're probably going to have maybe a 7-10 game lead on St. Louis, but it all comes down to one game, so it'll be crazy.
Yep. And then you got Chicago's in Arizona, Seattle's in Oakland, San Francisco's in San Diego, interstate rivalry there. And then you've got Colorado with the Dodgers. So that is your weekend matchups in the MLB.
And here's a story. I forget the guy's name. Basically, MLB player got one at-bat at his wife, and he got hurt during that at-bat. So he didn't really get an at-bat or anything happen. But I forget his name. I'm looking it up right now. He's basically, the Marlins did sign him for a one-day contract for October 2nd, and they're going to let him play. I know I can get it in 1 second.
Yeah, that's an
I thought that was very interesting.
So the Marlins are going to let him play so he can get his official at-bat?
I'm guessing they'll probably just let him. Yeah, it's going to be Adam Greenberg. Yeah, he's going to donate his one-day salary of the minimum, what's interesting, the prorated share of the minimum contract is $2,623 per game. He's going to get that. He's going to donate to the team's foundation, and he's going to get a one-day chance. So I'm guessing they'll just put him in the whole game. I mean, what are they going to do? Give him one at-bat? I mean, shit. You let him play and see if he can get four at-bats and start him at the number one spot. It's not like the Marlins are going to go anywhere.
Hey, the Marlins, you know, they're in the bottom of the East right now. It can't hurt them to have him play one game.
I think I've seen this before, honestly. I remember seeing the same exact scenario where this guy had one at-bat. He got hit by the pitch. He hit his hand, I think, and he couldn't play. And I believe he got another hit in the minors or something, but as a major leaguer, he never got back up there. So I think this is the same guy. So it'll be very interesting. I'm very interested to see if he gets a hit and see how the pitcher actually pitches him, knowing all this. You know, like, I don't know. It'll be very interesting.
Now I'm watching. Here it comes. There it is. So that would be very, very interesting. All right, I can't imagine. Is he going to play in this game versus the Phillies? What does it say?
October 2nd, so I don't know what that is.
The Phillies will be out of town already, so that'll be whoever they play after the Phillies.
Well, whoever it is, whatever. I mean, I'm sure he's training and he wants to get that chance, so. Hell, he might even hit a couple home runs and might get a couple. Gonna happen, but you never know.
You never know.
Moon to shine. We'll see what happens. That's pretty much it, though. I mean, anything else to add?
Oh yeah, well, I've got plenty of stuff for you, and I just wanted to say that the Browns Ravens game is a final. The Ravens won 23-16, so that is all over right there. And also the Stanford game. In the Stanford game, it is still 13-10 with 9 minutes left in the fourth. And I just wanted to jump into some other sports news. The Ryder Cup starts tomorrow. Rory McIlroy and Graham McDonald.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Yeah, this is Rudy Porter. I forgot that segment. But it doesn't matter. Got it on. So, yeah, talking about the golf and the NASCAR, which I it's important. I just don't know anything about it.
It's okay. I got you on this. So, like I said, Rory McIlroy and Graham McDowell from Ireland, they'll be facing off in the first round against Jim Furyk and Brandt Snedeker. That starts tomorrow in the morning, and then later in the afternoon you have Tiger Woods and Steve Stryker facing off against England's Ian Poulter and Justin Rose. And just by the way, our team, the Ryder Cup team, our ambassador for the Ryder Cup team is Justin Timberlake. So odd fact to throw out there, but he's there. It is in it's at the Mendenhall Country Club, which is Mendenhall, Illinois. And I thought that's interesting. It all kicks off tomorrow, so hopefully Tiger and the boys can do us some justice. Even though Rory's number one right now in all of golf, but you know, hopefully these guys can show their strength. And jumping from the Ryder Cup, we're going to jump straight to NASCAR. We didn't have last week's show, so I just want to state that Brad Keselowski won the first race in the Cup, and this week Denny Hamlin won it. I'm just going to run through the rankings of the 12 people that are in the chase for the Cup. Jimmy Johnson's in first. He's won five times. He's a five-time champ, and he's in first place. He's only 1 point ahead of Keselowski, who won the first race in Chicago. Then Denny Hamlin is 7 points back. Then Tony Stewart's 10 points back. Casey Kane is 15 points back. Clint Boyer is tied with him at 15 points back. Then you have Earnhardt Jr. in sixth there, 26 points back. Kevin Harvick at 31 points back. Greg Biffle at 33 points back. Martin Truex Jr. at 34 points back. Matt Kenseth at 35. And in the 12th spot, still fighting for the Cup, is Jeff Gordon at 45 points back. And after that, I mean, it looks like it's going to be another Jimmy Johnson one. The guy is the strongest in NASCAR. He's won five times. It's ridiculous. They say that this is the best start he's had when it comes to the race. So it looks like it's going to be another Jimmy Johnson blow up, but we'll see. But I'd like to jump into one other thing we haven't mentioned at all, period. The WNBA playoffs started today. There's actually a game going on right now. But earlier today, the Connecticut Sun beat the New York Liberty 65-60. So you've got Connecticut and New York in the playoffs, and San Antonio and L.A. in the playoffs. So those are the four teams. The playoffs started today, and already New York took a loss. And right now, currently, the San Antonio Silverstars and the L.A. Sparks are playing, and L.A. is up 78-69 as we speak, with 4 minutes and 53 seconds left in the fourth. So the WNBA, I mean, that's the other thing to watch right now. It's all the way to the playoffs.
Shout out to my long, long time ago host, Lazy B, Minnesota fan. Every Minnesota team sucks, but the Minnesota Lynx. The Minnesota Lynx, they won last year. So I don't know if they're in the playoffs this year, but
yeah, it's just those four teams, Connecticut, New York, San Antonio, and L.A. The Lynx just didn't make it this year. But on the strength of what I'm seeing, it looks like the, L.A. is going to be the strong team this year. I don't think the Liberty are going to do it. I think Connecticut's going to beat the Liberty. And from watching this first game between L.A. and San Antonio, if L.A. can hold on here, I think that it's going to be L.A. The Sparks and Connecticut in the playoffs. But we'll see. Today is the first set of games. Starting tomorrow, you've got Atlanta and Indiana tomorrow and Seattle and Minnesota.
So Minnesota is in the playoffs.
Yeah, they did. The Lynx, yes. I'm sorry. I did skip that.
That's my long shot. I'm calling
Minnesota as a long shot. But yeah,
Who are you picking? L.A.?
No, L.A. over here. I think if Minnesota can beat, Minnesota will beat Seattle, but L.A. is looking strong, so. All
right, you got L.A., I got Minnesota. Battle of the WNBA. We'll see.
All right.
I have no idea what I'm betting for, but we'll see.
It's all good. We'll figure it out later.
All right. I think the last thing you ever touched up on is hockey. What's the deal with the lockout? I mean, they talked.
It's
like every year is a new sport. I don't know if next year is going to be fucking soccer or what. This year's hockey. Yeah. So what's going on with hockey?
Well, as of today, they officially canceled the rest of the preseason games. The lockout began on September 16th, and they originally canceled just some of the preseason. But now they're canceling the whole preseason, and the season starts on October 11th. They canceled the games today, knowing that they're going into talks tomorrow. To try and figure this out. They're basically fighting over $3 billion in revenue that the players want split up differently and the owners want split up differently. So, who knows what's going to happen. The official season starts October 11th. Who knows what they're going to get to. Their last meeting was on September 12th, before the lockout began. And the agreement expired on the 16th, and that's when the lockout began, and they haven't met since. Now they're about to meet tomorrow, but everything's been canceled coming up to the season. So who knows what's going to happen when the season begins. I know that some of the teams, the players themselves, have gotten together and gotten ice rinks outside and have been practicing together waiting for this to blow over. But the question is, how many of the teams have been doing it, and will they be the strong teams because they're still practicing again?
It's always weird when you start a season with the lockouts. You don't practice as much, so it takes veteran teams a little longer to get ready because they're a little older. But we'll see how it affects everybody. And that's it for me. Anything else you have to add?
No, that's it. It's a good week in sports, and boy, San Antonio's coming back. It's 77-80 with 2 minutes left, 2:35 left. So who knows? My LA Sparks might not make it, but it's only game one, so it's all good. You never know.
True. Yeah, they just had the draft lottery for the WNBA, and I forget who got the number one pick, but I know Brittany Griner. It's pretty much like the Brittany Griner sweepstakes to see who where she goes. But whatever. We'll talk about it next week. Just so you guys know, we'll try to have another, I should have another edition of the most NFL pregame show this Sunday. It'll be at, I'll try to get it around 10, maybe 11 o'clock. So join me for a half an hour of total NFL talk, fantasy news, updates, predictions, all that good stuff. And make sure to join me and Hootie next week for another edition of the Sumo's Sports Wrap on Thursday night at 11 o'clock. And with that, good luck to all your teams. Good luck to all your baseball teams. There's a lot of good stories in baseball. Chipper Jones, final season. Billy Beane, his Oakland Athletics, have a shot at a title. If you all saw the movie Moneyball, he's still there. So, I mean, we'll see all these teams, see what happens. And with that, that's it. Any final thoughts?
I'm just, you know, saying that the Yankees have a chance to win another one, and that's all good with me. Just had to throw that in there. You know, you bring up the Billy Beane, so, you know, the Yankees.
Well, I mean, I'm talking about good stories. Not, my team has 5,000 good players. It's not heartwarming at all. You guys just... I mean, it's going to be an interesting AL. You know, I don't know how interesting it's going to be. AL, I mean, my pick, honestly, for the whole thing is Rangers. But it would not surprise me if Detroit won it or if the Yankees, I mean, Orioles even. I mean, they're a strong team. They're winning games. It's going to be a crazy AL. It really will. You know, I just don't know. I mean, it's going to be exciting, you know. I mean, who would have thought the Nationals would have the best record in baseball at this time? Can the Braves push? I mean, it would be nice to see Chipper win one, but my money's on the Rangers. So,
That would be nice for Chipper to win one, but oddly enough, my dark horse is the Orioles.
I
think they were fronting.
I picked them to win, man. Want some money? Good times, good times. But, we'll have a much clearer, I think next week we'll pretty much know who's in every spot. I think the season will probably be over by next week, next Thursday. Let's say 20, yeah, it should be over by next Thursday. If it isn't, we'll know pretty much what's going on. So we'll have all the playoff stuff for you guys next week. And I'm sure either the day of the show or the day after the show will be the one-game playoff. So we'll get you guys updated with that as well. All right, with that, good luck to all your teams out there. And I'll see you guys next week. Thanks a lot, Hootie.
Yeah, thanks a lot, boss. Love everybody out there. Be good and enjoy your teams.
All right, later, guys. See you next week.